Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, let's do something practical now. So with the long sunny evenings and school holidays looming, we're going to talk about sleep, in particular children's sleep. And I'm joined by Professor Annie Curtis from the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. Welcome, Annie.
Thanks, Brendan.
And you're an immunologist, you're a body clock expert, and most importantly, you're a mother.
Yes.
Come here, before we get into children specifically, you think we're all going around fairly sleep deprived, yeah?
We are, yeah. No, the evidence would definitely show that we are quite sleep deprived. And I think we can even see that, Brendan, from the queues that we see outside coffee shops. Because really, you know, we're drinking so much coffee to medicate ourselves against sleep deprivation. So we're the only species on the planet that will actually do that, will actually, no, not provide ourselves with enough opportunity to have enough sleep.
Are we locked in a vicious cycle with coffee, yeah?
We're locked in a vicious cycle with coffee in the morning, but also blue screen and blue light then in the evening as well. So we're burning the candle at both ends.
And what generally then, what are the effects of sleep deprivation?
Oh, Brendan, you know, there's absolutely loads. It affects every part of our mental and physical health. And one of the big impacts that I think we can really clearly see now, both in adults, but especially in kids and teenagers, is anxiety. That sleep deprivation really causes heightened anxiety. And the reason for that is normally we've kind of two parts of the brain. We've the prefrontal cortex. That's like the CEO. You know, that's like the person who's very rational and can make decisions and can reason. And then we also have this limbic system. So that's, I call that the lizard brain. So that's the real ancient part of our brain. That's the real part of our brain that will go through the fight or flight. Absolutely perfect for survival. But what happens in sleep deprivation is that that part of the brain, the flight, flight, freeze, flop, that becomes overactive. Okay. And the prefrontal cortex
so
kind of takes a backseat.
We're monitoring the perimeters all the time for danger.
We are, and we become very irrational, and we, yeah, you know, we don't have as solid reasoning as we normally would, and anxiety and depression is a part of that.
Okay, so get your sleep. Right, kids, you see, these nice sunny evenings now, like it's sunny till 10 or half past at night, it can be tempting to let bedtime slide, let them out in the garden or out in the road or whatever. But then we get the consequences of that in the morning, don't we? Like,
yeah,
cranky, I think is the word for it.
Well, as I said, so, you know, irritability, being angry, that's what we can kind of see in young kids as well. But even we can see that sleep deprivation has a really big link with obesity as well. And we know that we're dealing with, you know, an epidemic of obesity, especially in younger kids as well. So, you know, it's not, I don't want to be a killjoy because the weather's so nice at the moment, but yeah, I still think we have to really provide enough opportunity for our kids to get enough sleep in the nighttime. And like, if we think about it, you know, newborns need about 14 to 17 hours of sleep. Toddlers, okay. 11 to 14.
So start, okay, well, let's start with newborns. So 14 to 17, is it?
Yeah, yeah. So
now, nobody knows how many hours the newborns are getting because they're in their own chaos and hell and stuff at
yeah,
the time.
So but
do they, most of them do that naturally anyway?
Absolutely. So what happens is when we're born, you know, we've spoken a lot about the body clock, Brendan, so that's that 24-hour kind of molecular system that we have. When we're born, we just don't have a clock. And
okay,
that's the reason for that, I was thinking, is because newborns need to feed so frequently, it wouldn't make sense for them to have very strong, you know, rest activity periods. So they have no clock, no discernible rhythms whatsoever until at least 12 weeks. Now, I know there's probably some parents out there who have a 12-week-year-old and still not seeing any rhythms there. That's probably the earliest that we can start to see rhythms.
Are some people who'd be listening saying, but why is so-and-so's baby sleeping through the night and mine isn't?
Well, that truly is the great debate, Brendan, isn't it? Because, and if you go to any, you know, mom and dad and baby groups, like all they're talking about is either the fact that they're getting no sleep or those who are getting quite a bit of sleep. I used to actually get quite a bit of sleep and I wouldn't even say it in the mother and baby groups because
yeah,
I was afraid of
smoke.
What might happen.
It's yeah, smoke. Yeah. And for young parents, sleep when the baby sleeps, is that a good plan?
Yeah, like I think certainly when you have a newborn, definitely try to sleep when the baby sleeps, at least up until 3 o'clock. You just don't want, what you still want to try to do is protect that nighttime sleep. You really want to still see, can you get as many hours as possible during the dark phase? Because that's when your body and your body clock expects you to be sleeping.
Okay. So toddler years then, which things calm down slightly, like, but still a bit mad. How much sleep does a toddler need?
So, and I suppose that the information that I'm given here, if people want to have a look, the National Sleep Foundation has a great website. Okay. So make, take a look at that. So for toddlers, that would be 11 to 14 hours sleep. And I think a lot of times, you know, toddlers are getting that amount of sleep, you know, between their naps and
okay,
and their
so you're including sleep. Naps in that. They don't need to go through for 11,
no,
14.
No, no, no. This right. is all, yeah. All sleep over the full 24 hours.
Okay. So we get to primary school age. And you see, that's, I think, when the pressure starts, because kids start comparing bedtimes and stuff like this, and you know,
yeah.
So what time should they go to bed, and how long should they be sleeping for at that stage?
Yeah, so I have two girls who are in primary school, and I certainly saw this. You know, certainly once they started comparing with their peers, you know, such and such doesn't go to bed until such a time. But then, funnily enough, if I ever followed up with that mom and dad, that wasn't the right time. So you have to take what they're saying with a pinch of salt. I think they're just thinking about things in terms of what they want,
okay,
not necessarily what's
parental
happening.
Parental verification needed, yeah.
So like primary school kids, as I said, 9 to 11 hours sleep. And what I try to do is I actually try to count back. So I think, okay, they have to get up at, say, 7:30 in the morning, and then I count myself back and then try to decide. But I have to say it is difficult, because not only are they talking about their peers, but there's so much for them to do, you know. And I think as well, I see it in our own two girls, there's so much on, especially during the school year, between, you know, after school, all these after school activities. I think what's happening is we're probably eating later than we probably would have naturally eaten if, you know, if there wasn't the dance or the soccer or whatever going on. So it is hard to fit in all of these things. And one thing that I'm seeing that's creeping into primary school as well is doing training at 8 a.m. in the morning. So actually doing, you know, soccer training or hockey training. I understand why people are doing it, because there's so much on, but it's probably not great in terms of allowing them to get enough sleep, you know, throughout the night.
Exhausted a lot of the time. Like, we all know that by the time you get to holidays, like by the time we get to the summer holidays,
they're absolutely
they are absolutely worn out.
Yeah.
Speaking of exhausted, is that real, the thing of, you know, that like if they're overtired, they don't get to sleep then? That like adults as well, there's a point where you should have gone to sleep and you don't, and you get past it into some other point where you're kind of manic or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're overtired, I think sometimes what happens is like you go to sleep very quickly and you go into a deep sleep very quickly, and it's very rapid. And then you tend to sort of, well, certainly for myself, I tend to wake up at like 3 or 4 a.m. then the next morning, you know, and I can't get back to sleep. So, you know, you're always trying to give yourself, you know, enough opportunity to have enough hours of sleep during the nighttime. But if you do need to take a nap, as I said, even with parents, try not to nap after 3 p.m. because it's, we call it sleep debt. What you need to do is you need to try to accumulate enough sleep debt to put you to sleep. So a nice analogy for sleep debt is a balloon. So when you wake up in the morning, you have no air in that balloon, you have no sleep debt. And as the day goes on, you start accumulating sleep debt, the balloon fills up with air, and you get to a point, and I think about it like a nice big full balloon, it's like a pillow, and you need to have that to put yourself to sleep. Once you start to sleep, then that balloon, the air comes out of that balloon, and you wake up the next morning with a deflated balloon, but you have to give yourself enough time to fill that balloon. And if you're doing big naps or naps at about 7 p.m. or, you know, maybe 6 p.m. You're just not going to be able to build
Okay, all right, teenagers. So not only how much sleep should they be getting, but I'd say people would be wondering when should they be getting it, like, because they can tend to stay up until all hours, don't want to get up in the morning then.
Yeah, I think teenagers are a fascinating group when it comes to sleep, because their body clock actually changes. Like, a lot of us think, oh, teenagers, they just want to stay up all night and they just want to sleep all day.
Yeah.
Well, actually, their body clock and the gland that releases that sleep hormone called melatonin, that actually is delayed in teenagers. So once you hit puberty, that starts to be delayed by about 2 hours. So while we start releasing melatonin at maybe, say, 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., teenagers don't start. Like, this is biological.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
It's not their fault then.
It is not their fault.
They're worried to be night owls.
And I know people might say, well, my teenager is on the screen and whatever. We even see this in tribes in the Amazon, which have no electricity. This is what happens naturally. And there's an evolutionary reason for this, which I think is fascinating. And if you think back to the cave times, what you want is you don't want everyone asleep at the same time, do you? Because a bear could come into the cave or whatever, right? Yeah. So what happens is teenagers, their sleep gets delayed by a couple of hours, right? But then elderly people, I don't know if you know, I certainly see this with my mum, they start to wake up earlier. So now you have probably coverage for most of the night that either the teenagers are awake late into the late night, and then your elderly individuals are awake in the morning. And that gives 24-hour safety
to
the cave.
That elderly thing's happening to me already. We've 24-hour cover in my house at this stage, I think. Is physical activity good to help with sleep?
Physical activity is fantastic for a number of reasons. So first of all, it's great to get the muscles going and the muscles, they themselves will release hormones which help with sleep. But you don't want to do your physical activity too close to when you're going to bed. So, you know, I often see people and they're out running at like 9 or 10 p.m. and I'm thinking that's very late. You know, that is going to impact their sleep. So you want to leave about 3 or 4 hours before you go to bed.
Okay, so you could, I think a lot of people can get out for a walk or run
definitely,
in the early
especially
evening,
with the evenings.
But just leave enough of
a... Just leave enough of a time because you're trying to build up that sleep debt. Remember, you're trying to fill the balloon with air.
Into the balloon, okay. And then I'd say you're big on routine and everything, but then a lot of people at the weekend, there's no law and order, and they have a lie-in and everyone has a lie-in. And is that wrecking everything, all the good work the previous 5 days?
Well, you know, you could say it's funny because our two daughters went to see Tate McRae last night and they had a big lie-in this morning. And your researcher there was going, really, what about the routine? You know, researcher healed herself.
It's not always
the case. But if we can, if people are suffering with sleep, the first thing you need to look at is your routine. And are you going to bed and getting up at the same time, you know, within reason during the weekday versus the weekend? And look, I know how these things are. But the problem when you have one schedule during the week and another schedule during the weekend is you're basically giving yourself jet lag. So it's like actually travelling over to the east, and that is impacting your body clock. So having that routine the same for weekday and weekend is probably the most important thing you can do to improve your sleep.
Okay. And just before you go, Annie, general tips for all of us for getting a better night's sleep, particularly over the summer when it's very bright?
Yeah, so I think blackout blinds are great. The problem with us during the summer, and I think we've spoken about it before, Brendan, is, you know, really, it would be better if we weren't on summertime. It would be better if we had stayed on standard time.
Yeah.
Because when we shift to summertime, which we do in March, it means we actually all get about 30 minutes less sleep. So it actually really impacts. And that's a lot. 30 minutes is a lot. So I would say, keep the room cold as you can. Blackout blinds are really important. One thing that I've started to do, which I think it helps as well, turn around the alarm clock. Don't be looking at the time, you know what I mean? Because I think that can get you quite anxious. You wake up at 2 a.m, you're like, oh, I've only got another 5 hours, you know? So actually turn around the alarm clock.
Don't look at the time.
Don't look at the time.
All right, I'll try it. Okay, Professor Annie Curtis, thank you very much.